In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, our Lord said to us today, then I will be ashamed of you when I come in glory with the Father and His holy angels. These are important words for us to understand, brothers and sisters, because it gets to the crux of the matter. It gets to the very heart of our Lord's crucifixion, which we especially remember today during the middle of Lent, and I'll get into that in a minute, why we place this feast of the Adoration of the Cross here in the middle of Lent. But it's important for us to understand, and I know that I've said this many times to those who have been here for a while, but it bears repeating, that the most important aspect of our Lord going to the cross, the most important thing that He did in terms of suffering, was not the physical suffering, but was the suffering of shame, the loss of reputation, being spit on and despised by this world. You know, the physical suffering of the cross is a byproduct of the fact that the Romans used this instrument, this weapon of the cross, as a way to shame someone. It was considered to be so shameful that no matter how bad your crime might be, if you were a Roman citizen, you were not allowed to be crucified. That's how shameful it was considered by the Romans. Only if you were an outsider, someone who wasn't a Roman citizen, even if you lived within their empire, but you didn't have citizenship, then you could be subjected to the cross. And it is extremely important for us to remember that it is this shame that is the central theme of our Lord ascending the cross. And I keep reminding us of this, number one, so that we don't forget, because it is central to the gospel, but also because we live in a society, brothers and sisters, where so often people emphasize the physical suffering and the pain that our Lord obviously endured. No one's denying that He did. You know, it's very fascinating. When I was visiting Rome, I went to the Vatican Museum. And there were displays there through the centuries. It was very nice how they had it laid out, especially for my purposes in the sermon today. I'm sure they did it so that I could teach this to you. But they had it laid out century by century. And so for an Orthodox Christian to go through this museum, you could see, you know, in the 6th and 7th centuries, things that were recognizable to us Orthodox Christians, even though much of it was from the West and not from the eastern part of the empire. There were all sorts of different depictions and scenes from the life of Christ. And yes, of course, there were times when He was on the cross. It was very subtle, like it is in Orthodox iconography, which isn't a bunch of blood and guts. There's a few drops of blood. But it was Christ being majestic, so to speak, on the cross, being peaceful on the cross. And as you get, the centuries go on and on and on, and the further away you get from the Great Schism in 1054, when the Orthodox and the Catholics separated, the further you get away from that date, the further you get away from what we Orthodox are familiar with, to the point that by the time you get to the 12th and the 13th and the 14th centuries, almost everything was the cross, and not just the cross, but bloody. And the only thing you saw besides that were the martyrs. Again, very bloody scenes that were depicted. And so this is what we are up against in our society, is this emphasis on the physical suffering. And so we fall into this as well. We'll hear many times people say, let's say they get cancer. Okay? Nobody wants to get cancer. Nobody's saying that it's a good thing or that it's something that we should minimize, but people will say, that's just my cross to bear. No, it's not your cross to bear. You might suffer, and you might gain something spiritually by suffering through that, but it is not the cross. The cross is shame. Nobody's ashamed to have cancer. It's something that happens to all of us if we live long enough. The cross is about being shamed for sticking up for Jesus Christ and for His words, and that's it. That's the only thing that the cross is. It's not about us identifying because we suffer a little bit physically in the flesh. It's about whether or not we are willing to stake our reputation. Whether we are willing to stand up for the sake of the gospel and the words of Jesus. And when necessary, as Jesus Himself did, are we willing to stand up against other people, even in our church, our friends, people that we hang out with, just like Jesus hung out with the 12 disciples? Are we willing to put our reputation on the line in front of them and when they go astray? That, my friends, is ultimately what the cross is about. Now, we put the cross here in the middle of the church because right now we are beginning this middle week of Great Lent. So this is the third Sunday out of 6 Sundays, plus you have Holy Week. So that's 7 weeks. So throughout this fourth week of Lent, beginning on the third Sunday and throughout the fourth week, we will have the precious cross out here for us to venerate. And it is there for us as a reminder here in the middle of the fast. You know, think about what St. John Chrysostom says in his sermon that we read on Pascha, where he mentions the people that have been fasting strictly the entire time. He says, come and enjoy the feast that's been prepared for you on Pascha. He says, those of you who were lazy and who didn't fast, you also come and enjoy the feast that is set before you. How can St. John Chrysostom say that? He says it because of the cross. He says it because we are remembering during this season whether we have done well, relatively speaking, or whether we've done poorly in the fast, that it isn't about us. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. It was about Him being willing to suffer shame and Him being willing to go to the cross for our salvation. So if we have done well during the fast, disregard it in the sense of thinking well of yourself or feeling self-righteous, and remember it is about what Jesus did. Not what you did, but what Jesus did. And if you've done poorly, get back up on your feet and try for the rest of the fast to do well, remembering that it is through the cross that Christ grants you grace and forgiveness. As we heard in the epistle reading, He understands what it's like to be a weak human being, and therefore He, unlike many of us who are judgmental, He sympathizes, knowing our weaknesses. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, remember what we hear from the Holy Scriptures. St. John Chrysostom plays on this in his homily as well. Those who have come at the first hour, come and enjoy the feast. Those who have come at the third hour, come and enjoy the feast. Those at the sixth and the ninth, even if you've come at the 11th hour, come and enjoy the feast. But you have to come. You can't wait too long. Yes, even if you wait to the 11th hour, you're good, you made it, just barely. But you have to come. And that's the opening words that our Lord Jesus Christ told us today in this gospel. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. You still have to get up. You still have to take the cross and follow Him. Remembering that it is His work that inspires us. It's His work that saves us. But we, brothers and sisters, must take up the cross and follow Him. So as you come forward today at the end of the service, or even as you come forward to receive communion and you venerate the cross. Remind yourself, first and foremost, of the work that Christ did for you on it, and secondly, His words to you. You take up the cross and follow Him. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens, the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That He will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord,
that He will unite them to His holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Lord, have mercy.
Save them, have mercy on them, help them and keep them, O God, by Thy grace.
Lord, have mercy.
Bow your heads unto the Lord, ye catechumens.
Glory,
that with us they may glorify all honorable and majestic name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Help us, save us, have mercy upon us, and keep us, O God, by Thy grace, wisdom, that guarded